study examines the relationship between neighborhood racial ethnic concentration, alcohol and malt liquor availability, and homicide. And before describing some of the results from our study, I'd like to acknowledge my collaborators on the project. They include Pat McKee, Peter Hannon, Melanie Wall, Lon Fahn, and Darren Erickson from the University of Minnesota School of Public Health, and Alex Wagner from the University of Florida. We focus on homicide for two reasons. First, alcohol is a significant risk factor for homicide. About half of all homicides involve alcohol, either on the part of the perpetrator or victim. And then second, most importantly, homicide rates are unacceptably high among African Americans and Hispanics. In 2000, African American men between the ages of 15 and 20 years of age were 17 times more likely than comparable white men to be victims of homicide. Hispanic young men were 7 times more likely than comparable white men to be homicide victims. We believe that the alcohol environment may contribute to racial ethnic disparities in homicide rates, especially in inner city neighborhoods. Alcohol outlets such as these, this one, are over-concentrated in low-income and minority inner-city neighborhoods. We know that alcohol outlet density is associated with greater alcohol availability and increased crime. Essentially, as the number of alcohol outlets increase, so does crime. Malt liquor is readily available in inner city neighborhoods. Malt liquor is an inexpensive lager beer with a higher alcohol content than regular beer. It is typically sold in large containers, most notably 40-ounce bottles. It is also sold chilled for immediate consumption. Malt liquor is also sold at a cheaper price than regular beer, which increases its accessibility to inner city youth. This 40-ounce bottle of Camo malt liquor has about the same alcohol content as the 6-pack of Budweiser beer, but it is at it's half the cost. Malt liquor is also heavily promoted in inner cities. And much of this advertising is targeted to African American and Hispanic youth. Malt liquor brand names like High Gravity,
Steel Reserve,
Magnum, connote images of power. This is just some examples of malt liquor advertising, and this is a particular ad that targets the Latino community, and the caption on the bottom reads, "Feel the Fury." And it's an ad that, again, associates malt liquor with power, sex, and glamour. Images all very appealing to youth. Malt liquor advertising is not just confined to billboard advertising, but is very apparent on storefront advertising on alcohol outlets. You can see the advertising essentially just plastered from top to bottom of this storefront window. You see the price of the 40-ounce bottle of malt liquor, this is the King Cobra, is $1.66. And you can imagine what it's like for young kids to pass by advertisements like this on a daily basis, walking to and from school. Communities have formed coalitions to restrict alcohol and malt liquor availability and promotion, and community concerns are very well founded. As I previously mentioned, alcohol availability is associated with increased crime. Malt liquor consumption is associated with heavier drinking, more aggressive behavior, and a spectrum of neighborhood problems, including public intoxication, destruction of property, and crime. We know that alcohol advertising in general is associated with more positive attitudes towards drinking, drinking onset, and to alcohol consumption. Malt liquor consumption is of special concern in African American communities. And this is a group that is already at increased risk for general health problems, as well as alcohol-related health problems. Although African Americans comprise 12% of the general population, they purchase two-thirds of malt liquor, while Caucasian and Latinos account for 21 and 11% of malt liquor sales. Malt liquor is also, as you might imagine, very popular among low-income groups, likely because of the cheap price of this beverage. The purpose of our study was to investigate the role of the alcohol environment in explaining disparities in homicide rates among minority groups in inner-city neighborhoods in 10 U.S. cities. So we were concerned, are interested in looking at disparities primarily among racial ethnic groups, kind of holding income constantly. The neighborhoods that we looked at were all poor. We hypothesized that higher neighborhood concentrations of African Americans will be associated with higher homicide rates, as well as higher alcohol and malt liquor availability and promotion. And second, the relationship between racial ethnic neighborhood concentration and homicide will be attenuated after adjusting for the greater alcohol and malt liquor availability and promotion in African American neighborhoods. Our study communities included neighborhoods that were designated as empowerment zones or enterprise communities under the Empowerment Zone Enterprise Initiative under the Clinton administration. And these areas were received federal funding for economic development and represented some of the most poorest neighborhoods in their cities. And we selected these neighborhoods for several reasons. One, they were impoverished, and second, they included many minority youth who might be at increased risk for problem behaviors such as drinking and drug use and violent crime. And also, we believed that these type of, that malt liquor would be readily available in these types of neighborhoods. We're also interested in focusing on neighborhoods that in cities in various regions of the country to increase the generalizability of our findings. Our neighborhoods were located in 10 cities, including San Francisco, Oakland, Santa Ana, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Kansas City, Kansas City, Missouri, Boston, Baltimore, and Atlanta. And again, you can see a nice regional mix of cities. The data come from our malt liquor and homicide study, and this was a study that was funded by the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. Our unit of analysis is the census block group, which on average consists of about 400 households or 1,000 persons. And the data I'm going to present today is based on our 2003 data. We had several measures, homicide, alcohol availability, alcohol promotion. We measured homicide in terms of counts of homicide, alcohol availability, we primarily focused on the physical availability of alcohol and measured it in terms of the number of off-sale alcohol outlets. Alcohol promotion was measured in terms of the number of outdoor alcohol ads on billboards, transit shelters, and bus benches on main arterial roads in our neighborhoods. Our malt liquor availability measure focused on both the physical and economic availability of malt liquor. We used two measures, one the number of 40-ounce bottles of malt liquor on the front row of cooler shelves, and the lowest price of a 40-ounce bottle of malt liquor. Our price measure included taxes and adjusted for cost of living. Malt liquor promotion was measured simply by assessing whether there was any malt liquor ad on that storefront windows. We looked at several neighborhood characteristics. Our key variable of interest was a percent African American. Kind of just briefly, our field work was conducted by Battelle's Center for Public Health Research and Evaluation, and the observations were collected during 15-minute long visits to each off-premise outlet. Our hypotheses were examined using Poisson regression models, and all analyses adjusted for spatial autocorrelation. Just some descriptive results. Our easy block groups had higher mean percentages of African Americans, female head of households, and unemployment rates. This was no surprise given these were very impoverished neighborhoods. The average price of a 40-ounce bottle of malt liquor in our easy census block groups was $1.87, or less than a gallon of milk. And although malt liquor sales represent about 3% of all beer sales, malt liquor ads accounted for about one-third of all exterior storefront alcohol advertisements. These are results from our Poisson regression models, and we found that higher concentrations of African Americans in easy neighborhoods were associated with higher homicide rates, as well as greater alcohol availability, especially malt liquor availability. And second, the promotion of malt liquor on the exterior of storefronts was also significantly greater in African American than other neighborhoods. However, none of the measures representing alcohol or malt liquor availability and promotion variables changed the effect of neighborhood racial ethnic concentration on homicide. So in essence, we found partial support for our hypotheses. These are just some of the limitations of our study, which include our data. This is just our first year of data, cross-sectional, and therefore we cannot infer causality. For example, we cannot infer that living in a neighborhood with high concentrations of African Americans leads to high homicide rates. Our data are also limited in their generalizability to cities with less than 1 million persons. And also our models did not include some key variables that are also associated with homicides, such as gang violence and policies to restrict off-premise outlets. I think despite these limitations, our results suggest that geography does indeed matter, that living in an impoverished neighborhood with high concentrations of African Americans increases the likelihood of being a homicide victim, increases access to malt liquor and other alcoholic beverages, and increases exposure to messages promoting malt liquor. This is a website for our alcohol epidemiology program. Our study is one of a number of studies that are part of this program, and I encourage you to visit our website and review some of the other studies that we've conducted.